The lesson. I've already seen this morning people that I never dreamed would be here. And I appreciate so much anyone who would come to hear me. People ask me in greeting, "How are you doing?" Until very recently, my answer was, "Good for my age." For my health has been good, and at least for a 90-year-old. I've heard the saying, "Things get better with age." If true, I must be approaching excellence. My major problem is short-term memory. I get in the middle of a thought, I just did, and forgot where I was going. But fortunately, I've got it written down. My long-term memory is still good. I can still quote Casey at the bat. And my son, who I taught it to, is here today, and I thought about getting him up here and see if he could still do it, but I decided I didn't want to embarrass him. I got an email recently that describes my problem well. It was a granddaughter talking to her granddad. I can just hear Sarah doing this. Granddaughter said to the granddad, said, "After 65 years of marriage, you still call grandma darling and beautiful and honey. What is the secret?" And the granddad answered, "To tell you the truth, I forgot her name 5 years ago, and I'm afraid to ask her." Don't worry, it's all written out. You know, my life has been tremendously blessed by God. I have 5 children, 14 grandchildren, 10 great-grandchildren, new great-granddaughter, and many of them are here today. And for that reason, I'm the example of it's hard to keep up with the Joneses. One of the greatest blessings, though, that happened in my life is when I met Doug Stogner. And we decided to start a program. At that time was The Way, and it's now His Way, back in 2007. It fulfilled a dream of mine at the time, a place where I could go and share the gospel and set men free. Tom Reynolds has taken my small dream and made it into a large reality. He's brought in a wonderful, dedicated staff who love one another and the men we serve. And I can't thank him and them enough for their service. It's just inspiring to me. I said, people ask me, "How are you doing?" And recently I've changed my answer to that question. I now say, if any of you have noticed, if I were doing any better, I'd have to take a pill for it. A downer. I've been almost giddy with joy. Not just today, but recently, because of a Bible study that I've been working on for I don't know how long, for the guys at His Way, and I called it In Christ. In Christ is an expression used by the Apostle Paul, I bet you didn't know it, over 100 times. So it must be important. I found that it puts many other things in the New Testament in a new light to me. For instance, the subject born again became so much more meaningful. I wish I had time to discuss that, but I think it's more important for me and to keep us from not staying here too long. Is to share one small part of my study. I've shared the gospel often for over 60 years, for over 10 years, the guys at His Way. And I've become aware of something that seems to affect every Christian, and in a special way, the guys at His Way. And it is this. Now that I've become a Christian, why do I still sin? And for the His Way guys, and some have already talked about it, why can I not quit using drugs? Also, how does God treat that sin? Recently, I was talking with one of the guys about his family and his relationship with them. He said to me, he feels so embarrassed and worthless. Me, I sort of identify with that at times. Paul addresses this in Romans 7. And I'm not sure, have we got that? Okay, Romans 7, 15 through 25. I'm not going to read, well, maybe I will. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it. But it is sin living in me. Remember, this is Paul the Apostle. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. And listen to this, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, wouldn't have wanted to admit that, but I fit that. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. And I've tried to put on what I think, how he would have spoke this. And he said, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in Romans 8:1, I skipped a verse there, but it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that takes my breath away in a lot of ways. I'm not going to exegete Romans. I think my son's been doing that up in Knoxville. I need to get his notes, but Don't have time and probably couldn't if I tried. Rather, I'm going to share a very simple explanation of how to live, now listen to me, in full assurance and be full of joy. And please know that what we all seek is the assurance that our destiny is secure. In my study, I've come to the conclusion that our struggle with assurance is our inadequate view of the gospel. I know it was mine. I want to give you a short paraphrase of the good news by which I think we live our lives. This is not complete. It is, believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized. Your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift to live within, to guide your life. You will then go to heaven when you die. And you know, this is all very true. But the gospel is so very much more. And I want you to follow me now as I try to give you simple scriptures that show that I think our look at the gospel is so inadequate. Look at Galatians 3:26-29. Notice it's addressed to Christians. You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized, and notice, into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This says very clearly that all are sons of God. You ladies who have come to know Jesus are sons of God, and thus all recipients of all God's promises because of their faith in Christ Jesus. Their baptism, could you put on the other two? Their baptism, which is a new birth, has moved them from the race of Adam, which you'll notice I have in 1 Corinthians 15:22, says, for as in Adam's race, all die, but so in Christ, all will be made alive. How did I get from Adam's race to Christ? Born again, as I am baptized. And a lot of people don't ever pay much attention to that. But what we have been moved from, we've been moved from in Adam to into Christ. And now Christ is the head of the race that we're in. We're, I guess, in the lineage of Christ. And then, therefore, we're in, as Romans 8:1 says, a place where there is no condemnation. It's a haven, seemingly, that Paul talks about, that he has transferred, Christ has put us into his race, a haven where there is no condemnation. And notice it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, They are yes in Christ. Notice how everything is in Christ. And how can I, by my activity, get in Christ? No. He has to put me there. Brothers and sisters, we're not just saved people waiting to go to heaven. We are sons of God, living as aliens in a world and looking forward to going home. I read a story about, I don't know, y'all are too young, but John D. Rockefeller, and later on his junior, was a multimillionaire back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, started all the oil drilling and everything, and he apparently was a pretty good father, and he told his kids to go out in the oil fields and work. And they went out and into a sweat and a dirty oil rigs and everything, but they were happy as, I say, a pig in slop. And they were just handling it well, and the people that were working there with them or around them says, "Why are you all so happy out here? You don't need to be out here." And they said, "Oh, we're going home in a very short time. We're going to a mansion where our Father is, and He's always our Father. So I'm going home." So as sons, we're going home. We need to concentrate. One more thing. I'm trying to follow my notes here. You know, I have five children, and they're a mess at times. Like their dad. But they're always mine. Unless they desire to leave, they're mine. Most psychologists agree that a person will live his life in accordance with who he believes he is. So what we need to concentrate on is to know who we are and what we have in Christ. Excuse me. I want to go to the next one. Notice this is Colossians 1:28, and Tom sort of introduced this in our class this morning. Paul says, "We proclaim Him, Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect." Someone read the one that says mature or something like that in Christ, but I like perfect. Notice Paul says to Christians that he says, "I can present you, I'm proclaiming Christ to you, so I can present you perfect." I hear people say, "Well, nobody's perfect." I know what they mean, but in Christ, we are perfect before God. Meaning that we are what God intended us to be. His sons, His people. That's what He made us. That is His image. Not sinless, but sin free. And there's a big difference. And notice in Colossians, a little next there, he says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. The Hebrew writer makes this even more emphatic in 10:11-14. He says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because, he says, by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. He puts us there, makes us perfect, works on us. And let's look at the next one, Ephesians 2:4-7. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order, notice he's talking to Christians, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressing his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we don't go to heaven when we die. We go to heaven while we live. We live in heaven, in heavenly realms. Notice that the scriptures here are clear, simple words. Do I feel like I'm in heaven? No. Do I feel like I'm perfect? And do I feel like I'm a son? No. But here's where faith comes in. God says I am, and according to Paul, Doug quoted it early, I don't like his version quite as much as mine, Romans 4:17. Notice it says, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations, talking about Abraham. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, that had faith, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. He's calling Clyde Jones, who is not by performance in any way perfect, but he's calling me perfect and his son. I have come, I don't know why I couldn't see it before, to be so happy and joyful because of what God has told me I am. I know who I am. I know, you know, you're not a worthless sinner. That's not your identity. You may sin. Obviously, we all do sin. John in 1 John clearly says that we do sin. But he says we're sin free. We're free of sin. You are a son of God, perfect and sin free with one proviso. That is, you believe and trust in Jesus Christ for what he has given us and not on how you perform. Performance was what was making Paul wretched, if you didn't catch it. And that's what wretched means. Wretched means that I've just worked my fingers to the bone and I'm to the point where I just lay down and say, I can't go on any longer. I'm just a wretched man. But then he follows up and says, but no, he set me free. And there's no condemnation. And it goes on in Romans 8 and talks about this. But I think I've hopefully made my point. And I want to close with one other point. I want to share one thing which to me puts it all together to make you sort of giddy like me. And that's, let's look at Galatians 5:6. Notice he says, for in Christ Jesus, think of it as a haven, a place, that if you're there, this is neither circumcision or uncircumcision, he's just talking about theologies, has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, and we were talking about it in class this morning, expressing itself through love. Faith has to be expressed. Faith is an active thing. Our faith is active. It's inside us, but it comes out. And we express it in love. And I don't mean love in any romantic sense. I'm talking about the giving of yourself to others for their good without expecting anything in return. It's hard to do. That kind of love, that love is really tough. And Paul repeats himself a little here in Galatians 6:5. He says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. He just said what counts is faith expressing itself through love. So what in the world is he saying there? Why did he repeat it just one chapter? He says, because, notice what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore if anyone is in Christ, remember that's just a haven, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. So we, because we are a new creation, then he says, obviously, as a new creation, it goes out and expresses his faith through love. He gives himself to people. So let's go be who we really are. Christian lovers. That's the end of my, I I guess, written words, except I don't know exactly how this is supposed to end, but I would like to say, if anyone is not in Christ and wants the joy of entering that haven and believes that Jesus Christ can take you there in baptism, the elders, some way, we'll be glad to help you as we stand and sing.